Lord, we thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord God, that you inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, I thank you for that tonight. Lord, we sense your presence. You know, I just want to just read a couple words to you. I believe that God, I felt like the Lord spoke to me before we started service, that God wants to unlock some things. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 16, he tells Peter, he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Now, Jesus said, I'm giving you something, but you got to use it. Wouldn't it be something? Said, look, Lanzio, I got you a new Lamborghini, and here's the key. And you never take that key and utilize the gift that God gave, that I gave. It's the same way with binding and loosing. You know, some of y'all need some breakthrough in some areas of your life, but instead of binding and loosing, you've been complaining. Instead of binding and loosing, you've been giving credence to the problem. You know, the more you complain and the more you murmur, the bigger your problem gets and the less likely you are to use the key. And I want to read something to you. You know, God is the God who moves in hopeless situations. You know, the earth, before God moved on it, was a hopeless situation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty and dark, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God began to hover. You know, that word "and" can also be translated as "but." But in the midst of darkness, in the midst of formlessness, in the midst of hopelessness, everything looked bleak and bad, but the Spirit of God began to hover. How many of y'all sense that God's hovering over some of you today? Hovering over some situation. Come on, lift your hands right now. Come on, sense God hovering. How many of y'all need God to hover? You see, God never does anything without the Spirit of God hovering. You know, Jesus said this. He said, no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit first draw him. You see, that when the Spirit begins to hover, God's about to do something. God's about to say something. And when God says something, look, one word, one move can change everything. I love that what Brother Mike said. One word from God changes everything. How many of y'all need a word tonight? Not from me, like he said, but how about a word, a rhema word from heaven dropped into your spirit, a now word. Come on, I believe God wants to unlock some things. Come on, open up right now. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to minister to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Spirit of God, begin to hover. Now, I want you to get this picture of the earth, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on the scene. That word hover means to brood over, kind of like a bird when he does his wings over something. Come on. Spirit of God hovering. And then the Bible said, and God said, come on, the Spirit of God's preparing you, and God's saying some things to you. Lord, I loose right now the Spirit of God, the now Word of God, over your people. Nathan and Megan, I'm just going to tell you, what God's about to do for you is going to be unbelievable. It's a new day, a new season. And out of that's going to come new ministry. It's not going to be a long thing, a drawn-out thing, but God's going to do something really quick. Come on, hallelujah. Father, right now, we receive the Spirit of God hovering. And Lord, as the pastor of this church, I command, Lord God, the enemy, the plans of the enemy that were sent against these people of this body, I break it by the authority of the power of Jesus. Lord, as the shepherd and watcher over this people and this flock, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, I'm loosing destiny. I'm loosing destiny into your people right now. Lord God, what the enemy meant for destruction, God's going to turn around for his glory. Lord, I loose glory in the midst, Lord God, of harshness and heartache, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you're going to rise. You're going to bring us above the fray right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, I just want to encourage you. There's several things that I see as your pastor that I want to encourage you and exhort you in tonight. And the first thing is this. You're going to have to learn how to get a word. You're going to have to learn to get along with God and get a word. You're going to have to be the seeker of God. I can't feed you. I can minister to you on Sunday. I can feed you a little bit, give you a little something, something. I can give you a Scooby snack on Sunday. But you're going to have to feed on the word yourself. You're going to have to, listen, maturity, a mature believer, you know what? This is what I've learned. You can be old in the faith and still be immature. It has nothing to do with how long you've been in church. What it has to do is, are you pressing into Jesus? So the first thing is this, get along with God. Men, lead your home in the ways of God. Men, rise up. Rise up. I'm going to show a video here in a little bit. We're going to take communion first, and I'm going to show a video, and I'm going to share a little word with you. But we're really going to get serious with some men in the church, with the men in the church. It's time for the men to lead. It's time for the men to rise up and lead with integrity. Amen. So the first thing is you're going to have to get a word. Men, let me ask you something. What's the word? What's God spoken for your home lately? What direction is God leading you for your home? Come on, men. What is God saying? Number two, the second thing is this. I want to exhort you to be a student of the word. You know, I notice that a lot of times in church, y'all come here with no word and no tablet, no pen. Either you have the best memory of anybody I've ever seen, or you're not writing down stuff that you need to go back over the Holy Spirit with. I tell you what, I listen to a message and I write notes. And when I go back and go over it on Monday, guess what? I see things in a whole new different light that I didn't really see on Sunday. God speaks to me again through the message. Can I just encourage you? How many of y'all went to college and never went with your books or your notebook or your tablet? You were prepared. Listen, we'll give you the scripture up there, but I want you to bring you something. iPad, your phone. But take notes. Come on, be a student of the word. God's going to say, listen to me, get this. God's going to say something that you need. You know what? And that one sentence, that one word that you need may turn into the anchor for your life. Wow. How about that? Hey, we need to take church serious. We need to take, when God brings us here, man, you know what Brother Mike told me? He wowed me the other day. We were talking. He said, you know, there's 168 hours in a week. He said, you've got one half of 1% on Sunday to make an impact on people. Guess what? Change my attitude on how I pray. I bet, listen, when I get up here, I'm going to bring you something. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something that you need. I'm going to give you, you know what that does to me? It makes me press into Jesus. That I better get up here with a word. I just don't want to get up here and just talk good and smooth and you pat me on the back. But I want to release the anointing of God that goes deep into your spirit and causes you to be successful. It causes you to overcome. Come on, God's called us to overcome today. You know what? Here's the sad fact. Most of us have heard that all our life, but how many of us are really entering into that, into the victory of God? Can I just encourage you and, you know what, / challenge you? Let's get serious about this church. Let's get serious. You know what? We have a great church, but we're just as great as we're going to be until we get make a decision. We're going to get better. you can settle it anytime. I found that Jesus, anytime you want to get off the bus, you can get off the bus. When Jesus called his disciples, I'll never forget, this is an anchor word for me. He said, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You see, the whole concept of us following Jesus is so that he can make us. And Jesus told me, he said this, the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit. He said, to the extent that you're willing to follow me is the extent that I'll make you. Peter, you remember the story when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Finally, he got a commitment answer out of Peter on the third time. He said, now I'm glad you said that because what's happened to me is going to happen to you. You see, there's a cost involved to following the Lord. There's a cost involved. I want to tell you something. As a pastor, I have a soberness about the time that we live in. Our time is short. It's time to get serious about the things of the Spirit. It's time to get serious about people that we know and love that need to hear the gospel. It's time. Come on, will you agree with me that, listen, we're not here just, I love this. We have a great church. We're having a good service tonight, but it's more than us just coming here. We've got a world to win. We've got a city to change. We've got, God has strategically, listen to me, some of you are strategically anointed to be in strategic places of influence that you haven't entered into yet, but you need to begin to move that way. This little church, I just want to tell you something. This little church is full of power-packed leaders. Full of leaders. Time to move. Amen. Yeah, that wasn't too hard, was it? Did that encourage you? Did that exhort you? Come on. You know what? Every day when you wake up, you know what I do? Father, I thank you. Spirit of God, hover over me. Hover over me. And Lord, speak to me. God never, the Spirit never hovers without God having a purpose. And God said, let there be. As we get ready to take communion, as we come this way and peel out that way. You know, there's a scripture, and I'm going to teach on it, but here's what it says. Jeremiah 12:5, it says, if you have raced with the men on foot and they have worn you out, how can you compete with the horses? If you stumble in the safe country, how will you manage the thicket? Think about that. God is anointing us. Something's big's about to happen here at church. Just want you to know that. And guess what? That's the next big step. But there's bigger steps coming. The good news is we're going to take some big steps, but every time you take a big step, it's preparing you for the next big step. Unless you just want to stop stepping. Amen? Like Martin said, get the step. I got my fire back. I got my passion back. You know what? I got to have a giant in front of me. No, not you. You're pretty big. Handsome big guy. You are handsome. Why you got that beard over your face? Because you're handsome. Come on, how many of y'all love Chase? He's a gentle giant. But But I need a fighting giant in front of me. You know, that's just when God creates you for war, it's like you're not comfortable unless you fight. You were created for war. This church is a warring church. Church is a fighting church. We will conquer. Listen, we're going to conquer devils here. Principalities and power. We're going to knock them down. Let's get with the community before I get to preach. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, he said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's get ready to take the bread right now. Pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you said, "I am the bread of life." Lord, you were broken as a piece of bread for our bodies to be healed. Lord, right now, some of you may be dealing with some infirmities in your body, infirmities in your house. Listen, this is not just a religious act that we're about to do, but it's an act of faith and worship. And if you'll get your mind right, your spirit right, God will loose healing power into your body and into your home right now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. Lord God, that you took on your back 49 stripes, category 49 infirmities. Lord God, you did it, and we don't have to carry it. You carried it at Calvary. And so right now, by faith, Lord, we honor what you did. We do this in remembrance of your obedience. And we receive by faith supernatural healing into our body. I loose it right now in Jesus' name. Come on. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. Everyone ought to examine themselves, therefore, before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment." Father, right now, Lord, if there's any ought in this, anything in this, examine us, test us. We repent, Lord. And right now, Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you, Father, that the blood has redeemed us. It's bought us back. Lord God, the blood has made us righteous. Lord God, it's made atonement for us. It's brought us back into right relationship with the Father. And Lord, your word says that if we sin, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ goes on cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Lord, today we celebrate the blood of Jesus and the right standing of righteousness because of Calvary and the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Worship team, y'all can be seated. Let's cue up that video, please. Man, I want every man in here to watch this video and get ready, because I'm going to do something pretty special for this church. I'm looking to start a men's small group, and it may end up being a big group. I don't care. But any man that's interested in being a model man, I'm talking about a man of integrity for our church, for his home, for our nation. Come on, how many of you know we need great men in this nation? Y'all would. Let's
in this confused, chaotic world, men are looking to find a model man. In Larry Stockstill's new book, Model Man, you will discover how to become a model of integrity and purity to your family, kids, and everyone around you. The life-changing message in this book will empower you to have a godly marriage and raise godly children, live a life of purpose, and leave behind a legacy that honors God for generations. Sign up today to be part of the DVD small group series based on the Model Man book by Larry Stockstill and register online for the Model Man Conference October 9th through the 11th at Bethany Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Join the Model Man movement today.
All right. I just want to let you know, is Brother Larry going to talk on there? Can you play that one? Yeah, go ahead and play that one.
Buddy, I'm Pastor Larry Stockstill, and I want to speak to the men who are watching this right now. Men, we know that America is in serious trouble. The only solution, I believe, is for a million men to get saved and to be discipled and to turn our nation back around. I want you to be a part of the Model Man movement. It's starting September 1st in a six-week Bible study that you'll be able to follow along in a small group where we study topics like integrity, purity, pace, purpose, godly marriage, raising godly kids, and legacy. We call it From Integrity to Legacy. Your life will be totally changed in that 6 weeks. And then at the conclusion, October 9th, 10th, and 11th, here at Bethany Church, we're going to have a powerful Model Man Conference. And I'm telling you, your life will never be the same. We hope not to have another conference. We hope to kickstart a movement that will save a million men in the United States. Are you ready? You want to be a part? God bless you. And I'm excited about you becoming a part of the Model Man movement.
All right. How many of y'all excited about that? You know what? It's needed. I'm going to tell you right now, partisan politics isn't going to change this thing. A Republican or a Democrat, whoever, it's men. If 1 million men, how about if 30 of the men in this church get on fire for God, and decide they're going to be integrous with their wife, with their family, with their finances, and they begin to be models to the people around them, guess what? God will change this nation. And I just want to challenge the men here, encourage you, that we're going to do that six-week study coming up on the week of September 1st. Not September 1st, but the week of it. Any one of you that want to come is invited. And if you can make it on October 8th through the 10th, we're all going to take, how many vehicles we need, we're going to go to Bethany, and we're going to be a part of this move. This is going to be a move of God. And I just want to encourage you, every man, we're going to start, it's probably going to be either on a Tuesday or Thursday night here at the church, because I think it'll be too big for the home. We're going to go through this thing, and together, we're going to get our hearts right before God, and we're going to see God move in this church and in our nation. Amen. I'm excited. I'm reading that book right now, and I just want to let you know I'm challenged. It's good. It's a great book. Well, let me just read something to you, if you will, and then we're going to eat some pizza. Come on, go feed the spirit man. We're going to feed the flesh man. Justin, there you go. There's your surprise, Justin. Justin texted me today, said, what's my surprise? I said, if I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise, right? Yeah, now you got your surprise. Of course, we don't do anything without eating around here, do we? Food's good. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 30. If you'll turn there. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 30. Come on, how many students of the Word we got in here? Hayden, you didn't bring a tablet or a Bible. Jason, where's your Bible? Okay. All right. Let's start calling y'all out in here. Verse 26 says this, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Whew, I don't think about that too much. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many were influential, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Isn't that powerful? God chooses things that people don't see the potential in so that God can fill them with His living Spirit to change everything. And it goes on to say, so that no man can boast before Him, it is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Amen. I want us to understand something. Number one, God's not looking for qualifications. He said the foolish things of the world, the base things, the things that people didn't see potential in. God uses people who other people wouldn't likely use. How about David? When David, Jesse thought so much of David, he left him in the field, thinking there ain't no way this little runt's going to be the one. But I love, you know what? I love how God checked Samuel, don't you? The Bible said that even Samuel was prejudiced in the way he saw things. Because he looked at Eliab and he said, that's got to be the one. How many of y'all have seen people like that? Good-looking people, got it together, sharp, dressed sharp, talk good. But how many know that a lot of times, that's after you get to know those kind of people, that's not really what they are. They portray something other than what they are. But God has the ability. You know what God's looking for? Transparent heart. And God checked Samuel. He said, listen, don't be impressed by the things on the outside, because man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. So the qualifications, and we got to be careful, because we can prejudice ourselves by looking at people and categorizing people. But you got to understand that God's not looking for qualifications, because God's anointing pre-qualifies you. God's anointing pre-qualifies you. I was talking to Uncle Scott today. Yeah, he talks forever when I talk to him. I was trying to eat lunch with Haley. It's her birthday. We were having a good time. And Uncle Scott wanted to talk about the things that we're talking about here at the church. And, man, you need to do this. And, have you thought about this? And he's talking about the anointing. That's just the way he is. You know, I know if I talk to him, it's going to be at least 30 minutes. It's good, though. I'm not complaining. But he says, you need to protect the anointing. You know, it's the anointing of God that separates you from all other people. It's God's anointing. What is God's anointing, Pastor? Well, I'll tell you. I'll give you some aspects of the anointing of God. It's the Spirit of God resting on you. It's the hand of God resting on you. It's the heart of God for you. It's the hand of God guiding you. The anointing of God. It's something supernatural that no one can put their finger on, but they know there's something about you that makes you different. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not blowing myself up, pumping myself up, but when I walk in a place, God's anointing gives me favor. You know what? You ought to expect it. So God's anointing. God's not looking for the smartest. God's not looking for ability. God's looking for availability. Here's the other thing I want us to understand is that verse 27 says, but God chose. Here's the good news. God chose you. It says when you were called. How many of y'all, when you were called, God chose you. He chose me in my decrepit state of sin and shame. He chose you. The good news is God loves you and He chose you. He looked for you and pointed you out. You're no accident. You're not here by accident. And this is what it says. He chose the foolish. He chose the weak. He chose the base. He chose the despised. The lowly things of the world. The despised. Come on, isn't that good news? That's me right there. God is a God of the underdog. God wants us to yield to Him because He wants all the glory in our life. The reason He chooses base things is so that everyone can see the glory of Himself. We just got to remember that when God lifts us up, God promotes us, that we give glory to Him. We don't take glory. We divert the glory back to God. Come on, you know, people, I've learned that. I told you this, that people come to you and say, "Pastor, great message." I say, "Glory to God." Learn to divert His glory. Don't take His glory. Give it to God. Give it back to God. Here's four things, and I'm going to give you several things after that, but I'm going to give you 4 points. That the first thing is that God desires us to seek Him. Everyone who is qualified for God has got to be a seeker of God. I love what Brother Mike said. He said, set an appointment with God. Set an appointment. Isn't it funny? I would guarantee you that most of us in here are appointment people. That we have a date book, we have an appointment book, and we have all our appointments in. We got our ducks in a row. But where is God? Where is God? I'm going to tell you, I think we need to just kind of relook. Let me tell you what your priorities are. Look at your appointment book. That's your priority. You know, this is what I do. If I don't, I'll just get about my day and get busy. I've got to stop what I'm doing. And it might be studying the Word. It might be getting ready for a message. But I got to have a time where I stop that and I walk in here and I put on the worship music and I sit in this chair and I wait. This is how I wait. You got to wait. You got to wait on the Lord. Got to spend time. Jesus said this. I love this in Mark 1. It says that Jesus got up early in the morning and went to a solitary place to pray, as was His custom. Jesus was patternable spiritually, just like some of us are patternable physically. Jesus, you could set your clock by Jesus. You got to have a time where you seek Him. You got to give Jesus His priority. Listen, if you will give Him His priority, He will take care of your priority. Number one, this is just a little continuation of Brother Mike's message, hearing from God. So number one, you got to seek Him. Number two, you got to understand that you're chosen. Let me go back to one and just give you Jeremiah 29:13. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." Verse 14 goes on to say, "I will be found of you, declares the Lord." You know what that means? God's not hiding so you can't find Him. He desires you to find Him. Number two, the second thing is you got to understand that you are chosen, and chosen people act different. In Matthew 22:14, Jesus said this, "Many are called, but few are chosen." What is the distinction between someone called and someone chosen? I'm going to tell you what it is. The distinction between someone called and someone chosen is that everybody's called to do something great for God. The difference is the chosen are the ones who have left their nets. The Bible said that when Jesus came to His disciples in John chapter 4, and He said, "Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." I love the response. It said immediately they left their nets and followed Him. So they were chosen. There's a lot of people that God wants to use but aren't able to because they haven't left their nets. So chosen people act different. Chosen people speak different. Chosen people are different. Get into some good things. I'm going to just give you some exhortation here. Number three, you need to understand that when God's your sufficiency, you don't write all this, but understand this, You are a can-do person. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me tell you, as a can-do person, as someone who's anointed by God, you are a problem solver. You are a problem solver. You are a problem solver. Listen to me. You got problems? Yes, sir, I got problems. God will anoint you to solve your problem. God will, hey, how about the sons of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel was to do? There's an anointing that goes above that word. Understand is the word, Hebrew word, yada, which means an intelligence beyond book knowledge. So here's the deal. If I'm presented with a problem and I've got problems, I've got to look at my problems differently than what I'm looking at them. They're not problems to be an obstacle. They're a problem to be overcome. We just get stuck in the mentality, well, I got a problem. Guess what? Everybody's got problems. The question is, what are you going to do? What do I have to do different? How do I have to think different? How do I have to pray different? I was talking to someone and asked, okay, what did you pray about it? What do you pray? What are you seeking God on it? Or are you looking for the answer? Listen, everybody and anybody can be a problem identifier. And most people are very good at it. But I found there are very few people that are problem solvers. Here's the deal. Here's a new rule at Life Church. Never come to me with a problem unless you can present a solution. That's the way it ought to be. So we're not just saying, hey, Pastor, we got this problem. Yeah, really? You think I don't know that? You don't think I don't have my pulse on this church and know what's going on here, that I don't pray over everything that's happening here? Here's the deal. I just don't let problems, it's like a mosquito bite. The thing that drains you is a mosquito bite to me. The thing that you've allowed to get under your saddle, I'm still focused on the goal. Come on, is that okay? Can I say that? So God's not calling us. We got to think. We are a 250 member church. We need to think like a 500-member church. A 200-member church thinks, well, we got problems. A 500-member church says, let's get over this thing to get to the next level. You are a can-do person, not because of your sufficiency, because when you were called, remember who you were, the Bible said. It ain't you. It's not you that got you where you are now. It's not you who's going to get you where you need to be. You just need to learn that God's anointing you, that even though you weren't what you're supposed to be when He called you, you are something more than that now because the anointing dwells in you and you're an overcomer and you got the brains, you got the Spirit of God in you, and you're going to overcome and you're going to win. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing that God does not intend you to overcome to fulfill your vision. Do you understand that? That God is not the problem presenter. He's the one who gives you the anointing to be the problem overcomer. The devil is going to throw obstacles in your way. And sometimes they're going to be huge. But don't be short-sighted. The reason David killed Goliath wasn't so he could be famous. There was 4,000 other Philistines on the other side that needed to get done. David didn't pick up 4 stones because he thought he was going to miss. He knew Goliath had 3 brothers. Did you know that? You know what you call that? Strategic thinking. Come on, let's right now. Start saying to yourself, I am not a problem identifier. I'm a strategic thinker. You say, Pastor, I'm going to help you a little bit. How do I know if I'm a problem identifier? That's all you can talk about. Like Brother Mike said Sunday, he said, well, how do I know if I'm stuck in my past? That's all I can talk about. You know, I heard Brother Ron Corzine say this. He said, you can help people with problems, but you can't help problem people. Problem people have become so accustomed to their problems and talking about their problems, it's become their identity. They don't want you to solve it. They just want you to listen to it. So how many of y'all got problems today? Come on, I'll raise my hand. I got problems. But you want me to tell you something right now? Listen to this revelation. Your problem's not your problem. Let me tell you who your problem is. Hello. You know what? I'm my problem. Because God surely didn't call me to be overcome and overwhelmed by my problem. He called me to be victorious. And it's just like our money. You know, if things aren't working, if God wants to bless me to be a blessing and I'm not, then there's some things like tithing consistently, managing responsibly that I should be doing that I'm not. That's not allowing me to be a blesser, but it's causing me to be needy. Now, I want you to think about that. See, because the next message I'm going to preach is giving generously. But if we can't get over meeting our own needs, we can never get to the point of generosity. Because our focus can never be on others because it's always about us. So, how do I overcome these problems? Well, I think the first thing you'd have to do is quit giving credence to your problems. Quit worshiping your problems. I can tell you, I mean, Maury and Cheryl aren't here today, but I remember praying with them. Man, they were in some financial straits for a long time in their life. And God gave me this word for them like five different times. I'd tell them, God's going to turn around. You're gonna guess what? They're okay now. They are at that point. And you may be in a little situation, but it's just a situation. Just see it as that. You're an overcomer. Number four, live like a builder, not a maintainer. Live like a builder and not a maintainer. In other words, if I'm going to live as a builder, someone who's continually getting better, who's continually building things, then I've got to understand that I'm not coming to a place so that I can just maintain this place. I'm coming to this place to conquer this place so that God can bring me to the next place. Think like a builder. I went and looked at a church the other day, and the church, I'm going to tell you the problem with someone who thinks like a maintainer and someone who thinks like a builder. A maintainer has no vision. So I went to a church. Okay, listen to this because this is revelation. And I walked around the campus and it was beginning to be run down. Was it because they lost members? Yes. But that wasn't the reason. The reason they lost members is because they lost vision. And when you lose vision, you lose the ability to build. You lose momentum, and when you lose momentum, you get into maintenance mode, and instead of thinking out from where you are, you begin to try to think, how can I keep what I got, and eventually you lose it. Come on, listen to that. You got to think like a builder. You got to think outside your box. If you want something different, you got to go for something different. And by the way, the new and bigger things that God's bringing into your life, don't be intimidated by them because it's your season. I don't know what to do. I tell you what to do. Do what you've always done. Conquer that thing. You need to understand, and we together need to live with an understanding, with a sense of urgency, that this has to be done. Listen, I'm gonna go a little bit further than what I've been preaching. We're about to take a step as a church. The next step. Are you ready? Golly, I don't know if I want to do it now. The next step. We're gonna do it. And then when we fill this next place up, we go to two or three services, we'll take the next step and do it again. And then one day I'll die and God will bring somebody else along. We ain't stopping. We got a city to win. We got something to do here. Amen. We don't have time for fuss and fight. We don't have time for criticism. We don't have time for problems. Now, do we know we got problems? Yeah, but the problem is not the problem. The vision, conquering the vision is the problem. Amen. Petty people. Look, I'm tired of petty living and petty giving, aren't you? Look, here's a sense of urgency. Number one, you don't have to put points, but time is short. Time is short. Can I just let you know something? Your time is short. God has carved out some time for us to be on this earth to fulfill a destiny. My time is short. I was talking to Paul today. I said, you know what? Our time is short. Time is short. So we got to think different. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm only 27. Guess what? I was 27 yesterday. I'm telling you, I'm 22. I was 22 2 days ago. I can remember when we went to her birthday. I can remember the day she was born, specific things on that day. You tell me time is not short. When Hunter was a weeble wobble, fat, redheaded baby that couldn't even sit up, and one day he's sitting in my car with a beard talking to me, I'm like, what? I mean, it's weird, it's like a time warp. But time is short. I'm a grandpa now. No, you don't believe it. Here's a good question I want to ask you. This is a good challenging question. What has changed about you in 3 years? Second question I would ask is why or why not? Seek God. Press into God. Ask God for direction. Ask God for power. Ask God to make me a solution man or woman. It's times, listen, I know we live in hard, terrible times, but it's times like this when God's men and women stand up and say, this is the way we are to be. I have a word of the Lord. Follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Model men who are willing to say, hey, let's live this thing. I'm living this thing of integrity. Come on and follow me. You can trust me. Make us, Lord, pray that prayer. Lord, give me power. Give me direction. Give me anointing. Make me a solution. Be a value adder, not a detractor. I posted something the other day that says, be someone who adds value to others and find someone who adds value to you. You ought to always be in the pursuit of pursuing Jesus, but pursuing others who have something that you like and desire in your life. A mentor, somebody you respect, somebody you trust, somebody who's been living this thing for a while. Do you understand the type of men that I have overseeing me? These men that get behind this pulpit, this Sonny, the man that you had standing behind this pulpit, do you understand what kind of man that was? A man of integrity, married for what? What did he say, 45 years? 40 years? Pastored a church for 30-something years? Solid as a rock? I've got four men overseeing this church who I have something to live up to. And I hope as your pastor, when you look at me, you say, I want to live like that. May your children, when they look at you, say, I want to live like him. Understand that your dream is impossible to do without others. It's impossible without other people. Remember this statement that John Maxwell made. As good as you are, you're only as good as you are. You've got to have a team that complements you, that can do what you can't do, that don't think like you do, that doesn't look like you, that may be in the same color as you. Come on, that's a real team. That's the kind of team that God wants. That's the kind of church I want. Not a bunch of white folk. I want a church to represent Revelation 5. Y'all know what Revelation 5 says? It says, I saw the dead, small and great, of every race, of every nation, of every culture. That's church. Teamwork, a team. I'm going to tell you, I believe that out of that series, at these next group of small groups that we do, God's going to do something amazing. I mean, it's not just going to be a group, a meeting, but we got to get serious with some direction. I believe this model man that we're doing is going to cause this church to come into solidarity, and they're going to cause some families to rise up. It's going to be a good thing. I got one scripture for you. And I've read it already, but I want you to think about it. It says, if you have raced with men on foot and they have made you weary or they have worn you out, how can you compete with horses? And if you stumble in safe country, how are you going to manage the ticket? Hey, we've been in pretty smooth water for a while. It's time for us to start running with the chariot. Time for you. Hey, I'm going to tell you though, when you take that next step, when you launch out, there's always going to be new opposition. But it's nothing that God intends for you to be consumed by. He can intend you to overcome it. This is what I've learned. When I get into places where I've never been before, I begin to learn how to be equipped with something I've never had before. Because I start thinking different, I start praying different, guess what? And I become different. So don't worry about it. Just understand you are in that place. So now, Lord, I need your anointing. I need your power. I need your direction. I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. Lord, you said you would guide me into all truth. And I thank you that you have called me. This didn't take you by surprise. You knew it was coming. And you brought me here to this place. God brought David to Goliath for destiny. You know what the Lord spoke to me when he said, when you see Goliath, you know what you say? Hello, destiny. Because the devil never sends a Goliath unless he knows you're about to come into something you've never been in before. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you're facing a Goliath, you're on the precipice, like Michael Scott says. You're on the edge of the ledge of breakthrough. Amen? So just look at Goliath like Caleb said. Isn't that, what a great attitude. It sounds boastful, but he said, when the 10 spies came back to their giants in the land, Caleb said, they are bread for us. I tell you, when you understand who God is, you think different, you talk different. When everybody else sees something different, you see something else. Obstacles become opportunities. Amen? I didn't intend to preach this long. Let's pray. How many of y'all want to break on through to the next side? How many of y'all got a Goliath? You got some things. No doubt about that. But we're not problem identifiers. Yes, we've identified the problem. Now it's time to take them out. Amen? Let's pray. Raise your hand if you say, that's me, Pastor. Come on. All right. We're going to pray. Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I loose the anointing of God. I thank you, Lord God, that you're not surprised about this in our life. But Lord God, you have ordained this moment. It's an ordained moment, an anointed moment. David versus Goliath, the odds were against him, but it was God's anointed moment. It was God's appointed time. It was that time that was loosing him into his destiny. And Lord, right now, instead of us complaining about our Goliaths, we're going to change the way we talk. We're going to change what we see. We're going to change the way we look at things. Lord, forgive us for being so pitiful. Because you're not pitiful. You're powerful. Lord, you're not pitiful. You can do it all. You're omnipotent. Lord, I lose faith in this house right now. Lord, I thank you that, Lord God, by the power of God and the Spirit of God, we're going to overcome this thing, and the thing that we think has been hindering us and stopping us is going to turn into a launching pad. We loose it. We declare it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Go eat some pizza.